bringing hope to many around the globe, transforming lives into legacies. Live in Word with Pastor Mensah Otterbill.
All too soon, the year has come to an end and Crossover is with us. On 31st December 2015, we are gathering at the Accra Sports Stadium once again for the greatest event in this country, Ghana, and all over the world. Crossover is going to take us into the year 2016. I trust your greatest year is about to embrace you, and I trust that you're about to enter the greatest moments of your life. Join me at Accra Sports Stadium for Crossover. It will be an experience you'll cherish for the rest of your life. God bless you.
Come join Pastor Mensah Otterbill live on Thursday, 31st of December at the Accra Sports Stadium from 9:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. Crossover. Embrace the new year with hope.
And now, today's word.
Today I'm preaching on faith that overcomes. Faith that overcomes. How do we win the battles of life? How do we overcome the pressures of this world? We sang in our worship, we have overcome and declared that we have overcome. But how do we do it? How do we experience that overcoming grace and power that God has given to us? And today I'm going to touch on that. I'm going to start with my opening text from 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. I hope you know that there is a difference between John's gospel and 1 John. So 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. And we read these very powerful words from 1 John. And it says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world." It's very interesting how that word is rendered in 1 John. It didn't limit itself to whoever, but it says whatever, whatever, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Whatever. Now, whatever means three things. First, it means a person or an individual who is born of God. If a person, an individual, is born of God, they are whatever. They could be male, they could be female, young, old, tall, not tall, black, white, whatever. So far as you are a human being, you are part of whatever. But whatever is not just talking about persons, it's also talking about purposes, intentions. Whatever purpose, whatever intention is born of God, is part of the whatever. And thirdly, whatever includes plans. Whatever plan, whatever initiative, whatever you're pursuing, if it's born of God, it will overcome the world. So, the Bible is giving us the people, the things, the activities that are programmed and set apart to be victorious. So when the world throws challenges, pressures, trials, tribulations at you, there is a category of people and things that are overcomers. So we've looked at whatever. Now let's look at what the Bible means when it says something is born of God. Whatever is born of God. Three things. When we say something is born of God, first we mean that it is inspired by God. That God has breathed into it. God has breathed into it. It means the Spirit of God is in it. It is not the work of man. It is not begun by man. It is inspired of God. In Genesis, we see that when God created man out of the dust of the earth, he breathed into man, inspired. And man received the breath of God. Man inspired or received the breath of God. So when we say something is born of God, it means that God has breathed into it. God's Spirit is in it. Our salvation is a work of God's grace. God's Spirit comes to live in us when Christ comes to live in us. So that which is born of God is that which is inspired of God. Secondly, it also means that which is initiated by God. That which is initiated by God. It is started by God. It is led by God. So, inspired by God, initiated by God. Thirdly, it means that it is inhabited by God. That means that God lives in it. It makes room for God. It is not enough for something to be inspired of God. It must also continue to make room for God. It is not enough for you to let God start, but you must continue to make room for God. So, whatever, if it's a person, whatever if it's a purpose, whatever if it's a plan, and it is inspired by God, and it is initiated by God, and it has room for God, it will overcome the world. It will overcome the world. No matter what the world throws at you, if you are of God, you will overcome. If your ideas are of God, they will overcome. If your plans are of God, they will overcome. If your purposes are of God, they will overcome. Whatever is born of God, whatever, will overcome. So, in a season of difficulty, such as we are experiencing in our country, when things are going down for a lot of people, there are a people who will be going up. In this season, when businesses are collapsing, there are some businesses that will overcome. And they are those businesses that are born of God. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. So, if you have something that God started, and you know what I'm doing is inspired by God. The Lord spoke to me about it. The Lord is the one who directed me. I use it to glorify God. I make room for God in this activity. It qualifies to overcome the world. If your marriage is inspired by God, initiated by God, inhabited by God, no weapon formed against it shall prosper. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. That's a very powerful thought. Very powerful. Whatever. A God person cannot be defeated by the world. A God purpose cannot be defeated by the world. A God plan cannot be defeated by God. If God was the one who led you to do what you are doing, it will not collapse. The flood will come. The winds will beat. The pressure will come. But if it is born of God, it will overcome. It will overcome. And that's why it's important that We don't just live our lives the way we want and come to God when we are in trouble. Because sometimes, you know, that's how people live their lives. They live their lives the way they want, and then when they're in crisis, they come to God and then do maybe a seven-day fast and pray for a very long time and hope that, you know, God will be very pleased because they didn't eat for 7 days. Now, you don't use God for emergencies. If you've taken a step and he led you into it, if he's the one who initiated it, he's the one who inspired it, if constantly you have given him room to operate in that area of your life, then when the trials and the tribulations come, they will not overcome you. Listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 16, verse 33. Very powerful words from Jesus. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." In the world you will have tribulation. He didn't say you may have tribulation or you could have tribulation. He says you will. You will. If you are in this world, you will have tribulation. There will be rainfall that will cause havoc for you. There will be problems in the world. You will have tribulation. But smile. Be of good cheer. Smile. Because I have overcome the world. We can't stop the world from tribulating us, but the world can't stop us from overcoming the tribulation. The world will do its part, and we do our part. We are the overcomers. Somebody say, I have overcome. I have overcome. You will overcome in this season. I said, you will overcome in this season. I said, you will overcome in this season. I said, you will overcome in this season. Your business will overcome in this season. Your ideas will overcome in this season. Because whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. Whatever. Now, I want us to go back to that verse again, the opening text, 1 John chapter 5. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So there are two things that are required to overcome the world. Two things. To overcome the world, first, the thing that has to overcome must be born of God. Whether it's the person or an idea, a concept, a business, it has to be born of God. So if I am born of God, because I have received Jesus into my life, and what I'm doing was inspired by God, I qualify to overcome. That's the first qualification. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And then if you look at that verse again, there is a phrase, it says, "And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." So being born of God is just one part of it. The second part is that you must operate in faith. So this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. So if it's born of God, but it doesn't operate in faith, it will not overcome. If it's born of God, it must operate in faith. Because the victory for your overcoming is your faith. So if I'm born of God and I go through a time of trial and I walk in unbelief and I walk in doubt, and I'm murmuring and complaining and criticizing and just feeling anxious and worried, then although I'm born of God and I have qualified to overcome, I will not overcome because I am not operating in faith. So I have to be born of God and I must operate in faith. Two faces of a coin. One face, born of God. Other face, operating in faith. Now, when it comes to operating in faith, people have all kinds of ideas about what it means to walk by faith. It's great to pray, and we have to pray. And if you have the opportunity to pray for a long time, it's good. There's a time for prayer, there's a time for fasting. But prayer and fasting is not faith. So it's possible to pray and fast without faith. The fact that you are praying and fasting does not mean that you are operating in faith. Faith is not more prayer. Faith is not more fasting. Faith is not more tears. So when you're going through tribulation, you're praying and you're crying to God and the tears are flowing from your face and calling on Him, and you make your voice very pitiful and pitiable. Yeah, it's okay to cry before God, but crying before God is not faith. They are not synonymous. Faith is not more begging. Faith is not bravado, courage, or recklessness. Faith is not self-confidence. Faith is not saying, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. That's not faith. We have to find out what faith is. Faith is not having hands laid on you. Faith is not being anointed with oil. And definitely, faith is not drinking olive oil. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Not our tears, not our weeping, not our prayer, not anointed oil, not laying on of hands. This is the victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. A lot of people go to church. Sometimes they follow prophets. Sometimes they have hands laid on them. Sometimes they take anointed oil. They do all kinds of things. But that's not faith. This is a victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. In other words, if I do all of those things but don't understand faith, nothing happens. So if you're going to overcome the world, you must be born of God. What you're doing must be born of God, but you must operate in faith. Faith is simply the conviction that something is true. The conviction that something is true. The full assurance that something is true. For faith to be in operation, we have to believe that something we rely on is reliable. Now, if you look at the verse 5 of 1 John chapter 5, it says, who is he who overcomes the world? Who is the person who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So it says this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith, okay? But where must the faith be? Where must the faith be? You know, each one of us operates in faith. Each one of us operates in faith. When you came to church, you were ushered to a seat. And I can say that none of you took this chair, looked it upside down, checked the legs of the chair, and tested it to see whether it can hold your weight. You were ushered to a chair, and you sat in it. Why? You trusted it. You have faith in the chair. You have faith in your car. You go into your car. Although some cars don't deserve faith, but you had faith in it. And you started it, and you drove it, and it led you here. You have faith in your watch. You look at it, and you say, it's 9:30 or 9 o'clock. And you say it with absolute confidence because you have faith in it. So we all have faith in something. So when it says, this is a victory that overcomes the world, our faith. That's good. But faith in what? Because it's good to have faith, but faith in what? You have faith in a chair, faith in your car, faith in your watch, faith in the food you eat. But faith in what? The next verse, he answers it. But he, who is he who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So our faith must be rooted in Jesus. Our faith must be rooted in Jesus. Not faith in yourself, or faith in your plans, or faith in the Ghanaian economy. We have faith in the Ghanaian economy, but, you know, things happen. So our faith must be in Christ. That's where our faith is. So when I say I'm going to overcome the world, how can you tell I'm going to overcome the world? I'm born of God. I have God's spirit in me. And this thing that I'm doing, God is in it. So it qualifies to overcome the world. Then I have faith. Faith in what? Faith in Jesus. So, when we say we have faith in Jesus, what about him do we have faith in? What about him? There are two things about Jesus we must have faith in. First, we have faith in who he is. Faith in who he is. His nature, his position, his power. Faith in him as a person. Then secondly, we have faith in what he said. His promises, his assurances. So our faith is in who he is and what he said. If somebody says, I trust Pastor Otabel, or I have faith in Pastor Otabel, but I don't believe what he says, would you think the person was making a logical statement? No. Or the person says, I believe in what he says, but I don't believe him. It doesn't work that way. If you believe in him, you believe in his word. If you believe in his word, you believe in him. So this is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Where is our faith? In Christ. What is it about Christ? Who he is and what he said. So if you're going to overcome in this Ghanaian situation, you have to have your faith properly wired. It's not about more prayer. It's not about more fasting. It's not about running after prophets for anointing oil. It's not about seeing a vision. It's about whether you are operating in faith or not. This is the victory that overcomes the world. Our faith. Faith in who Christ is and what he said. So let me break it down and go to who he is that we must have faith in. Who he is. Who is Jesus? Now, there are so many things we can say about Jesus and so many things I can say about him, but I just picked one passage of scripture to illustrate something about him that we must have faith in, who he is. It's in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. It doesn't give us a complete picture of Jesus, but it gives us a sufficient picture for us to have faith in. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 18. Now, whilst you're turning it, I used the illustration of the chair. Now, if when you came to church today and you were ushered to your seat, you saw that one seat was the normal one you've been sitting on, it has metal, but then the seat you were ushered in was made of cardboard and is standing by the one made of metal, which you are familiar with. If you came to church and you were directed to the cardboard seat, you would not sit in it like that. Because you have not learned to trust it, and it doesn't seem to have the properties worthy of your trust and your faith. So you're going to look at the cardboard and examine it to see whether it has the capacity for your faith. Because if you have faith in it, you trust in it so much that if it fails you, you are gone. So you're going to examine it and see whether it has faith. Now, if you're going to have faith in Christ, you have to examine him to determine whether he is worthy of your faith. Do you understand me? Okay, now listen to what Colossians says about him, and then you can tell me whether you think you can have faith in him. He says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Now, these are the properties of the Jesus you want to trust. Now, let's break it down. First, he is God in the flesh. He's the image of the invisible God. Jesus is not just a good man or a prophet. He is God manifested physically before us. That's the first thing Colossians says. Secondly, he made all things. He made all things. He is the word that created all things. All things were made by him. And without him wasn't anything made that was made. Third, he is above all things, principalities, powers, thrones, dominions. Fourth, in him all things consist. He upholds everything. Hebrews 1:3 says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. Now, these are the properties of Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He made all things. He is above all things. He is preeminent. He upholds all things. Now, if that is who he is, the question is, can you trust him? So, between this description of Jesus and the current situation in the Ghanaian economy, which one is more powerful? Which one? Okay. So if the Ghanaian economy says you will fail, you can't run your business, and this one who is the creator, who is God in the flesh, who holds all things together, says you will make it, whose word is more powerful? So when we say that we have faith in Jesus, we have faith in who he is, his properties. His properties. Because who he is always going to be in contradiction to how things appear. How things appear can be frightening. But you have to look at who he is.
All too soon, the year has come to an end and Crossover is with us. On 31st December 2015, we are gathering at the Accra Sports Stadium once again for the greatest event in this country, Ghana, and all over the world. Crossover is going to take us into the year 2016. I trust your greatest year is about to embrace you, and I trust that you're about to enter the greatest moment of your life. Join me at the Accra Sports Stadium for Crossover. It will be an experience you'll cherish for the rest of your life. God bless you.
Come join Pastor Mensah Altabild live on Thursday, 31st of December at the Accra Sports Stadium from 9:30 p.m. to 1 a.m. Crossover. Embrace the new year with hope.
Thank you for listening to Living Word. To interact with Pastor Mensah Altabild, like his page on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter at Mensah Altabild. Email altabild@centralgospel.com or call +233 302 688 000.